Welcome everybody to another episode of HomeKit Insider. You've got me, Andrew O'Hara, and here with the original chemist who made the silver paint for the Tin Man in The Wizard of Oz, Stephen Robles. How you doing, man?
Doing well. That's a little known fact. I'm surprised you pulled that from my Wikipedia page.
Well, I'm pretty sure you tried to bury it because I think it was poison. So I think he got like sick from that. Yeah. So maybe you shouldn't be bragging about that as much.
Can I be honest, just as a tangential, I kind of want a Wikipedia page for myself. I don't know. I feel like once you have a Wikipedia page, you've made it. But do you have a Wikipedia page?
I keep creating one for you and it keeps saying not relevant.
Not famous enough. Yeah. Sorry.
Yeah, I tried for you, man. I tried.
Ah, that's what I'm hoping for. You know, for the Twitter verification, if you're like a journalist, that's like the surefire way to get like verified. But
no, it's not.
That's not. Yeah, maybe not a surefire way. But yeah, having a Wikipedia page is also one of the things where Twitter will be like, "Do you have one of these? Because if you do, you're pretty well known." But yeah, I don't have one.
I don't know. I tried the Twitter verification process when it came out again, and I got like denied and says you didn't meet the requirements. I'm like, what does that mean? I'm like, there are plenty of other editors. There's editors on the AI staff that are verified. There are people like on competing, you know, news sites that have far less followers that are verified. Like, what?
I think I have less followers than you. I got verified. I don't know what kind of, I know they've like turned the program off and then back on.
And it's back off again at the moment.
I know Jason Aiton, he's been on the Apple Insider podcast. He works for Inc. He has like close to 4,000 followers and he got denied the first time too, after I got approved. And I was like, you write for Inc.com and you have more followers than me. That doesn't make any sense. So I'm not sure like if those teams communicate, if there's like a standard.
It still seems thing. Like there's something messed up. Yeah, I mean, they literally denied it. They turned it off again after they approved a bunch of fake accounts.
Twitter. What are you doing, Twitter? Let's talk about some HomeKit stuff. We actually have some news going on. So Level Lock, which we've talked about in the past, they do the smart deadbolts all the way up to like smart locks and handles. They've partnered with a company called Rocky Mountain. Rocky Mountain Hardware makes also locks and different hardware designs, and they've partnered with it. So you can buy Rocky Mountain Hardware and their locks with the Level Lock technology built in. Omnia is another partnership that Level Lock has. And so it's like that, where they're just kind of putting their technology in other brands, which I think is really cool. So if you want different designs for locks and stuff, you can go to Rocky Mountain Hardware or Omnia and get their locks with Level Lock. And these are HomeKit because Level Lock is HomeKit. So I don't know. What do you think about this? I thought it was pretty cool.
I love this. I mean, just the fact that Level's tech has been some of the best out there. Their locks are super reliable. I love their locks in general. So to see them integrating with other hardware just really just expands the HomeKit market, right? I mean, you have more options.
Yeah.
You have Level's invisible one. You've got the Level's the touch with all the stuff on the outside, the more simple without the touch sensitivity that still looks great. But now you have this whole other range of hardware. There's like several different locks from Rocky Mountain Hardware that has the Level tech built into it, HomeKit built into it.
Yeah.
It's been super solid. So I'm very happy to see this. Yeah, it's good.
Yeah, very cool. Next piece of news. You have here in our note, vocal link with a question mark. A little suspicious. What do you mean by this? That's code.
Code. It means literally with vocal link. Like, are they around anymore? Because this past week, I have gotten several emails, like funny enough, several emails, all asking, where's vocal link? It looks like their website has been down in the US for quite a while now. Just, we'll be back soon and nothing there. And a lot of their products have been out of stock on Amazon, which I didn't look at the product shortage as a thing, because with the chip shortage going on, working with Vocal Link around the launch of the PureFlow and their smart humidifier and some of those, it was really hard for them to keep products in stock. They were selling out too quick and getting chips in general was next to impossible. So the unavailability of products, I didn't think was a thing, but their website has been down for a while. Plus products not in stock. And I've sent an email to like their CEO a couple times now, and I have not gotten a response yet. So I don't have an answer of what's going on with Vocal Link, but it's not looking good right now.
Man, so I tried to go to their website right now, and there's a strange, we'll be back soon, like storefront sign graphic. This will, of course, be the chapter art, so you could see that. Yeah, it doesn't look good. Do you think the CEO is like tied up in a closet somewhere, or is this maybe the end of a brand?
I don't know, man. I don't know. I mean, it's... a couple different things. One, you've got the fact that their products are still for sale. So if the brand was completely under, then it'd be, you know, probably wouldn't be great if they're still selling product. On the other hand, it's also HomeKit, which is nice because you don't need the third-party support to do a lot of this stuff. You're not going to get any future firmware updates with any changes, but those products are still going to work. So if you still have any Vocalink gear, don't worry if their app would be discontinued. Everything's still going to work through HomeKit just fine.
That's right.
So that's the good thing with HomeKit. Mm-hmm. But yeah, this is interesting. Like, Vocalink was a pretty big name. They were one of the smaller companies, but there was a lot of talk about them in the space. There was a lot of products, and they led the way with several firsts. They were really quick with, like, the air purifier, humidifiers, all that kind of stuff that we still don't see very often.
Yeah.
If this is it, this is very sad.
But again, like you were saying, this is one of the benefits of using HomeKit products, where if it's not dependent on a hub, I mean, I guess even if it's dependent on a hub, they'll still work. But like, Vocalink stuff didn't require a hub, but they were HomeKit and they would work forever, supposedly. I mean, you might not get firmware updates, but they should work for a long time. But it's one of the reasons why HomeKit stuff. And I just need to bring this up again.
HomeKit stuff, it's good.
That's the tagline for the show now.
That's the tag. HomeKit Insider. HomeKit stuff. It's good. It's good. That's it.
But just a mini rant again about Maris. Again, still have not been able to connect to my Maris garage door opener to update that firmware. I still have access to it. It works in HomeKit. So I guess even if Maris goes the way of Vocalink and just goes away, I can still use the garage door opener. I just have that in perpetuity firmware update that I can never do. Which, just side note, someone on Twitter, Andrew H., actually said that he was having with problems with Maris. I don't know why I said it wrong, like, on purpose. Like, anyway.
I'm going to slap you with a fish. Like, that is
my goodness.
Just throwing it out there.
Now, if it was a goldfish, I'd be about those. But anyway, Maris, he said that he turned off WPA3 security on his Wi-Fi routers. And for some reason, that actually helped the Maris switches connect again to the network. And so, if you have Maris products and you're having trouble connecting to them, you could try to turn off WPA3 security on your Wi-Fi router and maybe they'll connect. I actually looked and I do not have WPA3 enabled. It's WPA2. So I don't know why, but I still can't connect to it. And I'm not about to factory reset it because it's still working in HomeKit. It opens when I say open and closes when I say close. I said, I'm leaving it. But Andrew, thank you for that suggestion. Other Maris users, if you try that, let me know. Maybe it'll work. All right, now you also have another cryptic message here, Andrew. New Logitech firmware, ?
Yeah.
And then some numbers, so, like Lost.
Okay, so basically this goes back to some of the talk we've had about the Logitech video doorbell, the Circle View video doorbell. One of our listeners, I don't know, I feel like I shouldn't say his name because he did send me like pre-release firmware stuff here. Like, it's no big deal and they probably could figure out who it was, but and there's nothing like revealing in this, but he did say that he's been working with Logitech support trying to figure out what's going on with his doorbell, with it disconnecting and stuff like that. And they said that there's a new piece of firmware coming out. I've got it. The number is 8.12.14 is the current beta version of that firmware. And they sent him the release notes for this new firmware coming. So they say improved reachability and faster recovery from external factors that cause the camera to disconnect or appear offline. Sounds like overheating. Like,
right. It
gets too hot. External factors, like the sun, is an external factor.
Florida.
Yeah. External factors like Florida.
That's right. Just existing. The video. Just Florida existing is an external factor.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I wish we could do something about that, but yeah,
sorry.
I think we're stuck with it.
Yeah.
They say improved time to initialize a live stream, which is always good. Anytime you go to pull it up, it should connect faster. Improved image quality for certain reported scenarios. Improved transition in and out of night mode, so it doesn't like blow out as much. Resolved issue where the live recorded video in some cases might miss a couple of seconds when the doorbell button is pressed. That would be nice to not miss video. Increasing the speaker volume, reducing the microphone noise for clear audio and live stream and recordings, and improved handling of 24-volt transformers and improved handling of repeated sequential button pushes. So this is all coming in this new firmware. Our listener, watcher, said that he was really having some issues, but still is having those problems after the firmware. So he was talking about it losing Wi-Fi connection quite a lot. And even after this firmware, he still has a losing Wi-Fi connection. So he's going for a replacement. He's going to try to get that resolved that way. But if you're experiencing any of those other issues, or people who are not having issues, should be excited, because this sounds like a dope piece of firmware coming out with a lot of changes in here. Yeah. With Logitech, there is no way to manually install updates. In this case, he has to send like their MAC address and the serial number, and then they can manually push it.
Ooh.
Remotely. But if it's just like, you know, your average user, once this firmware is actually fully released, it'll just basically, these things ping once every like 24 hours to check for new firmware. Assuming there's nothing going on, it's going to go ahead and do that update on its own, just in the background, which I talked about in the review. I don't love, because it's a security camera. And what happens if someone was trying to burglarize your house the same second, like right after it started a firmware update? I don't know how long the firmware update takes, but if it takes like, you know, 30 seconds, that's all it takes for a creepy man to skulk past the front of your door and your doorbell to miss it. So I really wish there was a way to manually do these through the home app. Maybe there will be, since Apple kind of partnered with Logitech on the Circle View and the Circle View wired doorbell.
Right.
Yeah, either way, new firmware coming. Sounds pretty cool. Should happen automatically once it's released.
Okay. Well, and hopefully, oh, that heat stuff. I mean, if it fixes that, I know we've had a lot of listeners talking about stuff disconnecting because of heat. So that'd be amazing if it could be fixed in a firmware update.
And our you know, tip person that sent this in, that wasn't their issue. Theirs was just like Wi-Fi connectivity issues, which could be a network thing or something else going on, or could be a faulty unit. But this does kind of sound like, if heat is those external factors, this could be helping that out a little bit. So this would be a big deal. Sounds like Logitech understands there's some problems going on and is working on a fix.
Okay. Very cool. Well, before we get into some home projects and new homes, literally, I want to thank our friends at Hunter Douglas. They've been sponsoring us for a while now, and if you have not gotten Hunter Douglas shades yet, it is time to make that part of your home a smart home. Hunter Douglas shades are incredible. They have advanced fabrics with all different colors you can use to match the different rooms and looks of your house. They're energy efficient window shades, and of course, the PowerView automated technology. These are HomeKit shades. You can connect these to HomeKit, control them from your devices, control them with Siri, all those smart features that we love having in all of our HomeKit and home things. That's what the PowerView technology gives you. You can let light slowly in as you awake, or open entirely in certain parts of the day, block that harsh sunlight at other times of day so it's not in your eyes, you're trying to work in your office, and so you can enjoy a more beautiful, comfortable, convenient lifestyle. Now, Andrew, you have these in your home. What are some automations you think that would be useful when you have something like Hunter Douglas shades?
Very ton of options here, and it really depends on your use case, but several that I use. One, every morning I walk into the studio and I tell Siri it's a work day, and aside from turning my lights on, the shades also go up and let all that natural light into the studio, which I just love to, you know, shoot photos by and everything. On top of that, we have shades automatically close whenever we leave the house. Whenever the last person leaves, all the shades will close. When we go on vacation too, it's kind of nice because you can set the shades to go up, and like you can set like an away scene that kind of like opens and closes them at random times, so that it still looks like somebody's still at the house. And I also just have the ones upstairs opening and closing based on the time of day. So in the morning, they'll come open for us, bring some light in, and at night, they'll automatically close. And I'd also like to take this time during this, you know, paid ad sponsor to throw some shade at Hunter Douglas. Stop making such cool shades, because my wife literally this morning sent me like, oh, I want to put French doors in the back. And like, oh my gosh, we're going to end up with two more Hunter Douglas shades on those doors because they're these big French doors she wants to put in. And I'm like, oh my gosh, we're going to need to have shades on those. And I know that's what we're going to do.
And I'm excited because I actually just looked this up. I wasn't sure. And so I looked it up on their website. Hunter Douglas also has blackout shades.
Mm-hmm.
And in the new home that we are building in my office, I want to be doing video stuff like this. I want to be able to block out the sun, like black it out, but to use the lights in the office that I have set up. And Hunter Douglas has those blackout shades. And so I am 100% going to be getting these blackout Hunter Douglas shades for my office at that time. And like, I'm going to pay money for it because the stuff is like really cool. Visit hunterdouglas.com/homekit today, and you get a free Style Get Smarter guide, which gives you fresh takes, creative ideas, and smart solutions for dresses your windows. That is hunterdouglas.com/homekit for your free design guide. Our thanks to Hunter Douglas for sponsoring this episode. You have a home project going on. I got a home project going on. So tell me about the scoop on the coop.
Okay, this is probably going to be the pretty much last coop scoop you guys get. This is it. We're done. The chickens have moved in. We told the ladies last Monday that they are moving in to their new house, and they are in there. So they're out of our house, which is great, because they smelled. I'd say it smelled like smelly feet, but I think it's worse than smelly feet. So
smelly chickens.
They are out of the house. They are moved into their coop. Everything's done. Everything's painted, locked up, all set to go. The couple smart pieces here, we have a motion sensing light on the front, so that when we get, there's solar powered and everything, because there's no power out there, which is really handy. As I mentioned, we have that automated door on the front, and it kind of works. Like, it works on its own, but the chickens are still learning, and for some reason, they decided that when they go in at night, they all want to sleep in front of the door. So, like, I'll check on our Arlo camera that's out there to check how the chickens are, and all I'll see is, like, one chicken outside, and then behind the door, there's, like, six other chickens. Like, they all went through and they lay there, and then the last chicken couldn't fit herself in, so she just, like, is sleeping on the ramp, and then the door comes down, and she's locked outside for the night. I'm like, girl, you guys gotta make some room. So we have to go out there and, like, come on, let your sister in there. And so they're still getting the hang of it, right? First night, two made it inside by the time the door closed. Second night, five of them made it in, so we're gonna try them again. We're gonna see how they do this time, see if they can all seven make it inside before it gets dark. We'll find out. The Arlo cameras have been really handy because we can check on them, see if anyone else is stuck outside, and if we need to go ahead and make sure they get tucked in. I have had random connectivity issues though. Like, it is really far, like real far. Yeah. So like a couple times, like the camera like wouldn't connect, but I'd say like 9 times out of 10, it connects just fine. But it makes me nervous, especially when like we're going out for a trip coming like weekend, and like, you know, they're all alone. So I'm like nervous that I won't be able to check on them if the camera feed doesn't pull up. So it is on my mind a little bit, but it should be fine. And we do have neighbors and family that'll make sure they're all tucked in and safe. But yeah, I wish I would have had a more controllable door that I could maybe like open and try to get them to go in. But I feel like they just need that extra push. And once we get the timing on the door, it's like set on a light sensor, but also a timer. I think putting on the sensor should make everything, or putting on a timer and manually saying maybe a little bit later and they can all get in.
Gotcha.
Then it'll be fine. So
very cool. We'll put a picture as a chapter art for sure. The coop, it is finished. Well, my update, I just sent you a couple pictures and a video, but look at the pictures first. So I'll have these pictures in the chapter art. I might do like multiple chapters so you can see the difference, but we are at...
Oh, this looks... Oh my gosh, is this the deforestation happening in Florida? This is awful, man.
This is the de-swamp... This is terrible. De-swampination. This is... We are unswamping an area of land, yes. We have cleared trees as we record just yesterday, and so it is the first step in the new home being built. I will be chronicling the building of this home as we do it, all the smart things that will be going in it, and networking. I am most like, I want to get this right, is when the drywall is not up yet, but the framing and all that and electrical wires being put in, I want to run that Ethernet cable to the max. Like everywhere I want Ethernet cable, I want a direct line to wherever the internet hub is going to be. I want to make sure that, you know, networking closet is just right, and everything is going to be, you know, super powered. Which, our listeners, if any like IT pros are out there or something, I'd love to know what Ethernet like number to put in. I was doing a little bit of research, and I know there's like Cat 6, Cat 6E. I think there's even Cat 7 and 8 now. I think bought a Cat 8 Ethernet cable because it's like rated for higher speeds or whatever. So being the fact that this is building a house, I get to put the cable in the wall where I want it and future-proof it as much as possible. Obviously, cost is a factor. You know, I don't want to spend like thousands and thousands of dollars on Ethernet cable. But if anyone has recommendations on what kind of cable to run from the hub of internet to everywhere in the house, you know, I want my Apple TVs to be hardwired, obviously the office, any node, like wireless mesh nodes, like my Linksys Velop, I want each Wi-Fi node to have its own Ethernet connection so it's not dependent on the mesh Wi-Fi. So want all of that. And so I'll be planning that out, but it's very first stages now, cleared some trees, leveling some land, and then we get to building. It looks like timing-wise, maybe March will be actually be like move-in date, but some of those more like running cables and stuff will be like halfway point as the walls go up. So very exciting.
I just want to tell you that your Ethernet cables will not be correct. You will put them in.
It's impossible.
And eventually you or your wife will be like, you know what, we should put the couch on that wall. And now your Ethernet is in the wrong spot, and it will happen.
Well, my only consolation is like we're going to be mounting every TV to a wall. which there'll be like three TVs, one in our bedroom, one in like a family room, and one in the living room. So those are all going to be mounted on the wall. So, I mean, I don't know of other places they'll move besides those. And then the home theater system with speakers, obviously I want that wiring to be in the ceiling, in the walls. And so we'll be working on all that. Hopefully those will be pretty set. I'm still debating on what to do in the master bedroom. I don't know if I want to have to deal with like seven speakers in a bedroom. I don't know if I want to just do a sound bar or just do so Ethernet and then speaker wire. If any listeners has recommendations, I would love to hear it. I know the guys at the Accidental Tech Podcast, they talked about the Ethernet in their home for a while. There was a few episodes a couple months back, but yeah, I'd love to hear from our listeners if there's any IT pros out there. But as the house is being built, I am chronicling the construction with drone footage and other footage. And so I took a drone out there. This is the DJI Mini 2. It's, you know, not the cheapest drone you can buy, but it's pretty good. I've flown drones before. I've flown the DJI Mavic in the past. And the DJI Mavic Air had object avoidance. And the DJI Mini 2 does not have object avoidance. And so I've sent Andrew a little video here in Slack. And I don't know how we can do this for our listeners. Maybe I'll just make like a Dropbox link in the show notes if you want to see this little clip. But I was doing a nice pan shot of this thing taking down the trees. And I was all like in the moment, in the shot, when all of a sudden, my worst nightmare, I see a bunch of branches enter the right side of the screen and then spin, and then it died. And lost connection to the drone. And this, like where it landed, I mean, there's literally downed trees everywhere. Like it's just brush and trees and trunks. Like it's not just like a flat field where I can go look for this thing. Obviously it hit a tree, but it took me about an hour. I would say about an hour of like walking the property, trying to find the drone to, I eventually did find it. And then I was like, well, what state is this thing going to be in? Is it going to be like, I have extra blades. You know, I got the Flymore combo. Can I just fly it again? And sure enough, I swapped out the battery, took it off, and it's totally fine. Gimbal on the camera's fine. Everything's fine. And I've never crashed a drone like that before. And I have flown a good number of hours before, more in open areas. But I was actually impressed about the durability and that it actually withstood it and it could fly right back up. And I don't think I have to send it off for repair or anything. Like, it's good to go. And so I took a bunch of photos and videos with it after that. Without object avoidance, I realized I really need to have eyes on where it is. And if I'm doing like a panning shot, what is going to be in the path of this drone? Because it can easily hit a branch. And like, I didn't realize how definitely can. So, and you know, the site that we've cleared in the pictures that you'll see as the chapter art, there's still trees surrounding the area. So even though we cleared some trees, there's still a lot of trees around it. So if I want to get drone footage of the house construction, I'm going to have to be avoiding all these trees. So that was my very first drone fail. I thought about sending it to like Fail Army on YouTube or something to show the thing. Or maybe we could do a clip on our HomeKit Insider YouTube channel of the drone fail. It's a great shot of this front end loader and then just think it's taken out totally. So Andrew, I don't know if you have any questions about anything, but I'm also wondering if you have any drone fail stories, if you've ever run a drone into something.
No.
Wow.
Absolutely not.
Have you flown a drone without object avoidance, though?
I've flown most of the DJI lineup. Okay. I mean, I've done reviews on several of them, tried most of them.
Yeah.
Yeah, a lot of them have, like, the object avoidance. Sometimes they don't have, sometimes they'll have, like, front collision detection, but not side detection.
Right. And that's what I was doing. I was, like, panning sideways and then just burp. So.
Mm-hmm.
Object avoidance, it's an important thing, but I will say tangentially HomeKit stuff because I'm recording my home doing it. I just try to loosely connect everything back to the home, you know, as you do.
Pretty darn loose.
I did research like all the new drones. I think, didn't you review like the FPV, like the first person drone thing?
Yeah, I did.
You reviewed that for Apple Insider. But right now there's like that. There's the DJI Air 2S, which is actually a very nice drone. It has object avoidance, has a 1-inch sensor, does great, you know, stuff. So I watched a bunch of comparisons online between the Air 2S and the Mini 2. And for my use, like I'm not doing commercial drone work. I'm not, you know, doing stuff like that. So the Mini 2 actually does great, has great photos. It does great video. It just doesn't have that object avoidance. And it is under the 250 grams, which is the magic number where you don't need to, you know, submit a license or get the license to fly it in many places. And so I was like, let me just go with the Mini 2. So again, I'll say it is durable. if you do crash it into a tree, it will probably survive because that's what happened to me. I do have the DJI Care Refresh thing where if I totally destroy it, like you get two replacements with DJI if you pay like a little fee.
Yeah.
I did do that just in case. But yeah, drone stuff, new home stuff. It's fun. We'll put pictures and videos in the show notes so you can check it out. But it's the beginning. Finally. So there we go. Be hitting that thing up with smart home stuff everywhere. All right. So listener questions. I talked about Andrew with his idea for Maris products with the WPA3 Wi-Fi security stuff. And then there's another question here. It's a little cryptic. I think, did you put this in here? The Leviton Decora thing?
Yeah. Well, that's not cryptic.
You said, well, why don't you tell me, what do you mean by this question? What so means this?
What so means
that's
this?
Why I was going Shakespeare.
I just got a question. We did their Leviton Decora Wi-Fi second gen review in last week's episode. It is up on Apple Insider.
Yes.
And one of the things I mentioned on Apple Insider was that you had the option of, you know, controlling these because you have smart switches, you can control them with motion sensors. So I had two people ask how you could actually control these with motion sensors, which I guess I probably could have gone into a little more detail about, but because they are HomeKit, that was all it was. That's like literally I wrote in here, people, just so you guys can judge Steven, is in the Leviton Decor review, I said they could be controlled by motion sensors. How? That was what, not that cryptic.
How could they be controlled by motion sensors? How did you write it in the review? How now, brown cow? I don't know. I don't know.
Well, because they are HomeKit, they work with the entire HomeKit lineup. So if you have any HomeKit motion sensors, be it in a camera, maybe you have the Logitech Circle View, you have the Abode Iota, you've got the Eve Cam, anything that has the Ecobee smart camera, any of those that have a motion sensor in them, or standalone motion sensors such as the Onvis one that you just tried, maybe you have a presence sensor from your Ecobee smart thermostat, or maybe you have like the Eve motion sensor, any of those can trigger your lights. So basically you can just do whenever there's motion detected, the lights come on. We have talked in past on the show, the kind of the pitfalls of doing that. Some of the downsides of like when motion is stopped being like, if you wanted to turn them off, like if you wanted to have a similar option to turn them off, you'd have to like wait a certain amount of time or maybe just turn off when motion stops. But then if like they can be very sensitive depending on the motion sensor and all of that. So usually I think it's good to like when you walk into the room, maybe have the lights come on and then manually turn them off when you leave or set them off with the scene. So as you leave the house, turn your lights off. As you go to bed, this can turn the lights off. So I kind of like in general just having them turn on when you walk into a room. But when you leave, you can just do it via Siri or any of the existing automations you have set up. So that's it. There's not anything special here. It's just a simple automation using HomeKit. So any HomeKit motion detector or camera with a motion detector can control your Leviton Decora Wi-Fi second gen switches or any other smart light switch. I do like the ability that when you do it through HomeKit, you can set them for like different times a day. So maybe you could have a conditional, you know, if motion is detected in the living room in like 8 to 7 or something, it comes on at 100%. Between 8 and 11, they'll come on at 60%. And if there's motion detected from 11 to 6 in the morning, they'll come on at 10% because there is a dimmer option, so you can control the brightness of the lights, so maybe you don't get blinded when you walk into the kitchen or the living room in the middle of the night.
That's right. And yeah, we'd love to hear about your automations that you do, listeners. If you do motion detector automations, time automations, scene automations, we'd love to hear. I'm still tweaking my motion detector automations. I have some doing like a 1 minute timer, which you can do, you know, if motion is detected, turn the lights on and then turn off after 1 minute, 2 minute, 3 minute, all that kind of stuff. So yeah, we'd love to hear about more of those automations. Been using my coffee grinder automation, working like a charm. I don't know, I've mentioned in the past how sometimes a wait command in a home automation shortcut can be a little wonky, but mine's been working great. I say, hey, you know who, turn on the coffee grinder. Turns on, and then 2 minutes later, cuts off. Been doing it multiple times, so that's been great. But love to hear your automations, listeners. Tell us what you're doing automation-wise, what new products you got going on, what questions you have. Subscribe to the HomeKit Insider YouTube channel. Do we have a short link yet, Andrew? Where's that at?
No, we don't.
No?
We don't have a short link yet.
How many subscribers do you need for a short link?
Like 1,000 or something.
We need 1,000 of you. And listen, again, I don't want to give too much away. There's way more than 1,000 of you listening to this podcast right now. We need all of you to go subscribe to the YouTube channel so we can get that custom URL and all that kind of stuff. So subscribe there. You can see fun stuff as you go on the channel. You can see Andrew and I shucking and driving, me drinking cold brew. This is quality content. And of course, If you haven't yet, we would greatly appreciate a 5-star rating and review in Apple Podcasts. You can check it out there. Don't forget to check out the Apple Insider Daily Podcast. That's every weekday you get the top Apple news headlines in just a few minutes. And tweet at Andrew and myself. Our Twitter handles are in the show notes. We'll catch you later, listeners and viewers.